Do you realize it is possible for a person to act as will fit into God's plan without even knowing it? They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These words are reported in the Gospel according to John in the 19th chapter, and this particular portion that I read to you was from the 24th verse. Now, actually, this is a scripture quotation from the Old Testament. These very words were found in the 22nd Psalm, and they're quoted here by the author of Matthew, in which he sets out that what the soldiers did with the garments of the Lord Jesus was exactly what had been predicted would happen in the 22nd Psalm. And by the way, for those of you who are reading and studying these things, make a note of this psalm, number 22, and perhaps sometime during this week you may want to read that psalm, if you have not already done so. It is a most remarkable description of death by crucifixion, and it's the most accurate, it's the clearest description of the agonies of such a death to be found anywhere in the Bible, and certainly in the Old Testament. And that makes it a very remarkable psalm because it has so many little things that it mentions in there which were actually duplicated in the real experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you read it, you will be very much impressed to think that this report, so to speak, or this record had been written so long ago in Old Testament times and was so closely fulfilled in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you read the opening verse of that psalm, you will remember Christ's cry on the cross when he cried out to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You'll find that that's the very first verse of the 22nd psalm. When you pause at the last word of the psalm, it'll be a Hebrew expression translated into English, and you'll see how close it comes to the words spoken by our Lord Jesus when he said, it is finished. I think you'll find that the translation will probably say something about it was done, but the idea of completion is brought in at the end of the psalm. In fact, I've been very much impressed with the thought that since our Lord Jesus called out, quoting the first verse, and then ends his public utterance by quoting the last words, that it is quite conceivable that while he was hanging on the cross, he himself was repeating the 22nd psalm. And if you read the 22nd psalm with that in mind, it will be very, very meaningful to you. The words of the 22nd psalm that I've just quoted predicted exactly what the soldiers would do, but the soldiers didn't know it. I think this is a profound thing. The fact that the soldiers were acting just the way they wanted to act, but they were doing exactly what God knew they would do. This brings out the idea that prophetic foreknowledge, when God knows ahead of time what's going to happen, does not force anybody to do it. He simply knows that they will do it, but they're going to do what they want to do, for certainly that's the way it was with these soldiers. And this is a profound truth for us. People who do not have God in mind at all may yet be doing just exactly what he has planned for them to do, what he is having in mind that they will do. And by the way, this will be true also for ourselves until it makes us feel very serious-minded about anything that we do. The chances are that our personal daily conduct can be used by God in his own way to bring his will to pass. There is a passage of Scripture that says, he maketh even the wrath of man to praise him. But now I want to read to you this portion. Our portion for today, in the 19th chapter of the Gospel according to John, begins at verse 23. And I want to read this with you, and as we read it, just note the things that are actually said about this incident. We are now noticing the agony and the suffering of the Lord Jesus in his actual experience of dying on the cross. So in verse 23 we read, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it. That is, let us not rip it apart. Let us not tear it. It's a whole piece of cloth. But cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. You see, the soldiers were doing just what they wanted to do, but they did exactly what the Old Testament scriptures predicted that they would do. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And so these three women were standing there looking at the Lord Jesus. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, you'll remember how I told you that John never calls himself John. He always refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this is undoubtedly who he is here now. Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son, which was a way of indicating that so far as he was concerned, he was transferring the responsibility of taking care of his mother to John. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And so we find the Lord Jesus in his dying moments, while he is there on the cross, suffering the agonies of death. We find him noticing his mother and thinking about her welfare and planning for her future. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, which the scripture, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And this is a very interesting thing. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It would seem that the Lord Jesus was very careful in his conduct to make sure that he was doing everything that the scriptures predicted he would do, which would keep the issue before the people and keep the picture clear in their minds that he really was the one that fulfilled the scriptures, whether they knew it in time or not. But he really was that one. And now when he had gone to this end and it had been finished up in this fashion, knowing that all things were now accomplished, it was all finished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I think that the scriptures might be fulfilled would include not only that he would die, but that everything relative to the whole gospel program would be set forward. Certainly he would die, but you see, when he died, he set in motion a whole train of events. When he died, in 3 days he would be raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, in so many days he'd be taken into heaven. When he was taken into heaven, and so many days afterward, he would send forth his Holy Spirit. And when his Holy Spirit would come into this world, then the gospel would be spread to the ends of the earth. All these things would come in and would take place when the Lord Jesus would at this point give himself over to death in this crucifixion experience that he was having. Knowing that all things were now accomplished, everything had been done, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Those were the last words, as far as we can tell, that he quoted on Calvary's cross. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, as we read on from that, you will find that they then went on to do other things. To take over and take charge of his body and things of that nature. But now let me look back further at this just for a moment. In verse 25, about those faithful women, how often this is true. This ministry of participating through sympathy. The women could do nothing about it. There was nothing they could do to take him down from the cross. There was nothing they could do to change the course of events. And yet they helped by being present. They sympathized with him, and they were with him at this time. And I would like to suggest that this goes on even to this day. When there are people who will visit the sick and the suffering and the troubled, when they visit those who are helpless in their misfortune, they are doing something very similar to what these women did who stood there and looked upon the Lord Jesus in his misery. He had been ignored and disowned. So that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And yet here these women stood faithful and adoring him, in their smitten hearts loving him. He had been rejected and humiliated. He had been made a public spectacle. They'd humiliated him. They'd treated him with such ignominy and so on. But here were these women who humbly worshipped him and by their presence honored him. He had been denied and repudiated by the very people he had come to help. And officially he had been treated like a criminal. And yet these women stood by him, faithful to him in the hour of his darkness here. All the good that he had done was forgotten. He had helped so many things. He had opened the eyes of the blind. He had made the lame to walk. He had delivered those who were in bondage to Satan. And he had raised the dead. But all of this is now forgotten when the public turns on him. But these women, they are faithful in their personal attendance upon him. At that very time, in the name of Old Testament Scripture, people were criticizing him, claiming that he ought to do differently than he had done. But these women stood right by him. And when he set men free, you will remember, while he was here upon earth and delivered men, there were people who gave credit to Satan rather than give it to him. He had been betrayed by one of his own. He had gone through the experience of having one of his own inner circle actually give him way over to the enemy. He had been forsaken by most of his followers and cruelly abused by the cruel soldiers and shamefully scorned by the people. But these women stood faithfully worshiping him right to the very end. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us hearts of faithfulness, hearts that will be true to thee, hearts that will worship thee, so that thou canst be pleased to look upon us as we give thee all the honor and the praise and the glory. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.